This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Colvin, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go.
Say praise Him, praise Him.
Join us for a word of prayer.
Awesome God, we come this day to worship you and to praise you. We worship you, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We worship you, God the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer. We worship you, God, who is our friend, God, who fights our battles for us, God, who provides for us and protects us. We worship you in all of your godness, all of the ways that you show up in our lives. We worship you and thank you for your love that endures throughout the generations. We worship you and thank you for your peace that passes all understanding. We worship you and thank you for the new life, the new birth, the new beginnings, new blessings that you desire for us and the way you made it all possible through your Son and our Savior. God, we give you thanks for the power of your Holy Spirit at work in this world, at work in us. God, thank you for being God and God alone. You are not a God who needs anything from us, and yet you desire to be in ministry with us, to be in relationship with us. And so for that, we say thank you. God, empower us this day to be your people, to prove that we are born of the Spirit, to show in this world that we truly are the children of God, the family of God, the people of God. Bless us to be blessings, to bring comfort to all who are hurting this day. Bless us to bring peace to places where chaos rules and reign. Bless us to bring your light in all of the dark places of this world. We know that we can, through the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit at work in us. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
Thank you. Bible says, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Now please join Pastor Colvin as we explore this topic further.
Hear these words from John, the 3rd chapter, beginning with verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying this. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, you who are our teacher, we thank you for the gift of your preached word this day. God, use this lesson to show us how you would have us, to prove that we are your students, to prove that we are your disciples in this, your world. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart is acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, on this graduation weekend, I wonder if you can recall who your favorite teacher was. It takes no time for me to think of my favorite, Mr. Howard Bruce, actually Reverend Howard Bruce. I didn't know until later in life that he was a Methodist pastor, which makes sense. The man had the patience of Job, unparalleled generosity, and so many fruit of the Spirit. It was easy for him to be my favorite because he taught my favorite subject, speech and drama. But it wasn't until I was studying theater in grad school that it really clicked for me. The effort that this older white man went through to ensure that his young black students had material we could identify with to perform. We weren't stuck staging West Side Story when we could be performing A Raisin in the Sun or To Be Young, Gifted, and Black. We didn't recite the poetry of Emily Dickinson and D.H. Lawrence, but we recited the poems of Nikki Giovanni and Langston Hughes and so many more. He was a teacher like many of you who went the extra mile and then some. And today we meet a teacher like him in the 3rd chapter of John. Nicodemus was up late one night working on his lesson plans, and he realized he was stumped. So he went to see Jesus for some clarification. Now let's be clear, this probably could have waited until the morning. I'm not sure how many of you teachers would even call their principals in the middle of the night, let alone show up at their doorstep. This could have waited until morning, but then all the other teachers of the law would be around. All the other folks in the community who expected him to know everything would be present. In the morning, he might be too embarrassed to seek the Lord. In the morning, there might be too much peer pressure to condemn Christ instead of coming closer to Christ. So this teacher, who the culture says should already know what Jesus is teaching, first humbled himself. He acknowledged that he didn't have all the answers, and he couldn't find his answers among his Pharisee friends, Because you do know that too often we look for others to do what only God can do. Too often we seek people's opinions when only Christ can clear the matter up for us. So he humbled himself and he went out of his way to seek the Savior. Friends, I wonder what we are willing to risk so that we might learn from our Lord today. Will we risk sacrifice? Will we risk our convenience? Maybe we'll be called to worship or study at a time or in a way that might not be our first choice. Will we risk or sacrifice our popularity because maybe we're the only one of our friends who goes to church or the only one of our friends who is the church all throughout the week? What will you do this week to ensure that you learn the lessons Jesus came to teach? What will you do to make sure that you're prepared to teach others? Because God is still asking, as he did in Isaiah 6, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Friends, if we're going to go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we have to get our lesson plans together like Nicodemus. When he went to Jesus that night, he started with what he understood. We know you are a teacher who has come from God. We know you couldn't do what you're doing without God on your side. And y'all, Jesus must have been good and sleepy because he didn't even let Nicodemus get the question out before he answered, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." I can hear Nicodemus saying, "Wait, what? I wasn't even going to ask that. That's not on the lesson plan this week. I haven't read that anywhere in the Old Testament curriculum." The reality is Nicodemus may have been born 9 pounds like me and was thinking, "My mama had a hard enough time giving birth to me once. What are you saying, Lord? I know you don't think we can re-enter our mother's bodies and try this thing again." Jesus replied again that we must be born of water and the Spirit, because flesh gives birth to flesh and spirit gives birth to spirit. Having just celebrated Pentecost, having received the gift of the Holy Spirit, I hope we know that if we call the Spirit a teacher, then we should also be teaching the way of Christ. If we've received the gift of the Spirit and we call the Spirit a comforter, then our presence should bring comfort to others. If we've received the Spirit and we call that Spirit a helper, an advocate, then we should be advocating for those who are hurting in any way. Friends, if we are born of the Spirit, there should be evidence, Christ says. The gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit should be alive in us. The sad reality is, even as the wind of the Spirit blows through our lives, blowing away that which is not like God, many of us hold on for dear life to the old self. Maybe you can see scenes from a movie or a cartoon where that person is holding on to a light post with their whole body blowing in the wind. Some of us just won't let go of the old self. The sad reality is, even as the fire of the Spirit burns away our sins and purifies us, many of us search through the ashes of what was and we fixate on the remnants of what caused us to repent. We do all this instead of simply accepting new birth and new blessings. And friends, we're not alone in this. Isaiah had a similar experience. Isaiah 6 tells us that he witnessed the glory of the Lord. He saw the angels surrounding the throne of God. He heard them worshiping, singing, "Holy, holy, holy." But instead of that Spirit-filled experience empowering him, it paralyzed him. Isaiah then began to disqualify himself from service, saying, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among people with unclean lips." And that just may be somebody's testimony today. "Woe to me. Sometimes I say the wrong things, Lord. Sometimes I gossip instead of glorify you. Sometimes I critique when I could have been complimenting. Woe is me. Sometimes I don't keep the word of God in my heart and in my mouth. Sometimes I roll with the wrong crowd. Friends, that just may be why the angels in Isaiah's vision, his experience, had six wings. The text tells us with two wings they covered their faces, and with two wings they covered their feet, and with two wings they flew. Someone's feet probably need covering today so that you can travel with a different crew, or be careful about where you and your crowd are going. Someone's face probably needs covering today so that you can be careful about the things you see and say, because all that influences how far we fly, how well we fly. And as Isaiah began to cry out, "Woe to me, I'm ruined," the Lord must have heard his humble cry. He must have heard that "woe is me" like a prayer. Those words must have sounded just like a hosanna. "Save, Lord, save now." Those words must have sounded like a "help me, Holy Ghost." It must have sounded like a "Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know." And then Isaiah says, one of the angels flew to him with a hot coal taken from the altar of God. "Come, Holy Spirit, come as fire." And that angel touched that fire to Isaiah's mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt has been taken away and your sin atoned for." Friends, and the Lord is saying to us just what the Lord said to Isaiah: "You're forgiven. What's stopping you from following me? What's stopping you from serving me?" And too many of us have gotten caught up right here in a cycle of repeat repentance. Yes, sin is a part of human nature, so we have all and will all fall short of the glory of God, but that's not the whole story. We stay stuck on what was wrong with us. We stay stuck thinking about past sin, past failures, and why they keep us from being kingdom workers. But Isaiah reminds us again in chapter 43, verse 19, the Lord says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing." Our God of the new thing calls us out of our old things, our old ways of walking and talking, our old ways of dodging our discipleship responsibilities. When I was young, we sang about it like this: "I moved from my old house, and I moved from my old friends, and I moved from my old way of life." We used to say, "He changed my old way with words. He changed my old unlevel mind. He changed my heart and gave me a new start. Thank God I moved out to a brand new life." Our God of new things is offering new birth and new blessings. That God is offering us a new way of life, is offering the world a new way of life through us. Our God of the new thing is saying, "Forget the past, forget the former things." This God of new birth and new blessing says, "Forget what you did and what was done to you. Forget your failures and the times folks failed you." Our God of new birth and new blessing says, "Forget all the things folks don't know about you that I do. Forget the former things, because I've got new things in mind, new blessings in mind." And the good news is God wants each and every one of us to be a part of that new thing. Because God's very next question to Isaiah after cleansing Isaiah is, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Us being the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who have been working together since the beginning of time, since before time, and have always desired to work with us. The fancy word for it is perichoresis. It's where we get our word for choreography. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer have always danced together, shared the responsibility of giving us what we need. It's not like God alone at work before Jesus. We see countless testimonies of the Spirit of God leading the people of Israel, the Spirit of God hovering over them. So it's not only God at work before Christ, Jesus doing it all on earth alone, and then the Holy Spirit coming after Christ. The Trinity is not that linear. It's not that limited. Instead, the Trinity was always at work in heaven and on earth together, at work together in a divine dance together. And this Holy Trinity has always been calling out to us, may we have this dance. May we have this dance, always inviting us to join the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to join the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer at work in the world. Friends, are we answering like Isaiah, here I am, send me, or is our dance card full? Are we coming up with reasons why we can't be the one to go for God? Our God of new things is still doing new things, still desires new birth and new beginnings for each of us and for all the world. Trust that when God sees shootings at cabinet factories and schools and grocery store parking lots and railway stations, God is praying for new birth and new beginnings. Trust that when God sees the numbers of abuse cases climbing, as our local news reported this week, simply because, primarily because families are at home together, you can trust that God is envisioning new birth and new beginnings for our families. God is just waiting for us to cry out for ourselves or for others, woe is me. 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, says it this way: if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal the land. In other words, I will give them new beginnings and new blessings. Friends, trust that when our God of new things looks down upon all our graduates, God sees futures with hope. God sees dreams coming true. God sees people blessed to be blessings. And trust that God is waiting, hoping to hear from them and us, here I am, send me. Yes, there are things we still don't understand, like Nicodemus. There are things we still may not have released, like Isaiah. And still, God is asking, whom shall I send? Still, God is inviting us to experience new birth and new blessings. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer, who invite us into their holy dance. Amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.